Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. How do you define blindness? Grab a dictionary and you'll find out that blindness is the inability to see. Simple, right? Well, if you consult a medical reference book, you'll get a much different answer, complete with, you know, numbers, measurements, angles, all kinds of details. Well, in this program, we will examine the various definitions of blindness to help you answer the question, what is blindness? The first article is a definition of blindness. It's a sort of a presentation, a speech that was given by Kenneth Jernigan many years ago. It comes from the www.nfb.org website, National Federation of the Blind. There is an editor's note before the actual message begins, and the editor says, "It may seem odd to begin this special issue about low vision with a definition of blindness, but sometimes the fastest route to a destination is not the most direct. As you read this low vision issue, you will find the words low vision, visually impaired, partially sighted, legally blind, and maybe a few others used interchangeably with the word blind. Over the decades, professionals have often attempted to establish definitions for these terms based on a hierarchy of degree of vision loss. All of those attempts failed. In other words, there is no one accepted definition of, for example, low vision or visually impaired. But the National Federation of the Blind does not rule this as a problem. Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, who was president of the NFB from 1968 to 1986, and an active leader of this organization right up until his death in 1998, explained it with these words. And here is Dr. Jernigan's talk, a definition of blindness. Before we can talk intelligently about the problems of blindness or the potentialities of blind people, we must have a workable definition of blindness. Most of us are likely familiar with the generally accepted legal definition, visual acuity if not greater than 20 over 200 in the better eye, with correction or a field not subtending an angle greater than 20 degrees. But this is not really a satisfactory definition. It is, rather, a way of recognizing in medical and measurable terms something which must be defined, not medically or physically, but functionally. Putting to one side for a moment the medical terminology, what is blindness? Once I asked a group of high school students this question, and one of them replied, apparently believing that she was making a rather obvious statement, that a person is blind if she can't see. Well, when the laughter subsided, I asked the student if she really meant what she said. She replied that she did. I then asked her whether she would consider a person blind who could see light, but who could not see objects, a person who would bump into things unless she used a cane, a dog, or some other travel aid, and who would, if she depended solely on the use of her eyesight, walk directly into a telephone pole or a fire plug. Well, after some hesitation, the student said that she would consider such a person to be blind. I agreed with her. And then we went on to point out the obvious that she literally did not mean that the definition of blindness was to be unable to see. Well, I next told this student of a man I had known who had normal 20 over 20 visual acuity in both eyes, but who had such an extreme case of sensitivity to light that he literally could not keep his eyes open at all. The slightest amount of light caused such excruciating pain that the only way he could open his eyes was by prying them open with his fingers. Nevertheless, this person, despite the excruciating pain he felt while doing it, could read the eye chart without difficulty. The readings showed that he had, quote-unquote, normal sight. This individual applied to the local welfare department for public assistance to the blind and was duly examined by their ophthalmologist. So the question I put to the student was this: If you had been that ophthalmologist, would you have granted the aid or not? The student's answer was yes. Remember, I told her, under the law you are forbidden to give aid to any person who is not actually blind. Would you have still granted the assistance? The student said that she would. Again, I agreed with her, but I pointed out that far from her first facetious statement, what she was saying was this: it is possible for one to have quote-unquote perfect sight and still, in the physical, literal sense of the word, be blind. I then put a final question to the student. I asked her whether, if a sighted person were put into a vault, which was absolutely dark, so that he could see nothing whatever, it would be accurate to refer to that sighted person as a blind man. After some hesitation and equivocation, the student said no. And for a third time, I agreed with her. Then I asked her to examine what we had established. There are 3 points. Number one, to be blind does not mean that one cannot see. Here again, I must interrupt to say that I am not speaking in spiritual or figurative terms, but in the most literal sense of that word. And the second point that they established, number two, it is possible for an individual to have quote-unquote perfect sight and yet be physically and literally blind. And the third point established, it is possible for an individual not to be able to see at all and still be a sighted person. What then, in the light of these seeming contradictions, is the definition of blindness? In my way of thinking, it is this. One is blind to the extent that the individual must devise alternative techniques to do, efficiently, those things which he would do if he had normal vision. An individual may properly be said to be blind, or a blind person, when he has to devise so many alternative techniques, that is, if he is to function efficiently, so many alternative techniques that his pattern of daily living is substantially altered. It will be observed that I say alternative, not substitute, techniques. The word substitute connotes inferiority, and the alternative techniques employed by a blind person need not be inferior to visual techniques. In fact, some of them are actually superior. The usual accepted legal definition of blindness already given, and as a reminder, that is visual acuity of less than 20 over 200, with a correction, or a field of less than 20 degrees, this definition is simply one medical way of measuring and recognizing that anyone with better vision than the amount mentioned in the definition will, although he may have to devise some alternative techniques, will likely not have to devise so many techniques as to alter substantially his patterns of daily living. On the other hand, anyone with less vision than that mentioned in the legal definition will usually, and I emphasize the word usually, will usually, for such is not always the case, need to devise so many alternative techniques as to alter quite substantially his patterns of daily living. Now, it may be of some interest to apply this standard to the 3 cases already discussed. First, what of the person who has light perception but sees little or nothing else? In at least one situation, he can function as a sighted person if, before going to bed, he wished to know whether the lights are out in his home. He can simply walk through the house and see. If he did not have light perception, he would have to use some alternative technique, like touching the bulb, or telling by the position of the switch, or having some sighted person give him the information, or maybe devise some other method. However, this person is quite properly referred to as a blind person. This one visual technique which he uses is such a small part of his overall pattern of daily living as to be negligible in the total picture. The patterns of his daily living are substantially altered. In the main, he employs alternative techniques to do those things which he would do with sight if he had normal vision. That is, he does if he functions efficiently. So next, let us consider the person who has normal visual acuity but cannot hold his eyes open because of his sensitivity to light. He must devise alternative techniques to do anything which he would do with sight if he had normal vision. He is quite properly considered to be a blind person. And finally, what of the sighted person who was put into that vault which had no light? Even though she can see nothing at all, she is still quite properly considered to be a sighted person. She uses the same techniques that any other sighted person would use in a similar situation. There are no visual techniques which can be used in such circumstances. In fact, if a blind person found herself in such a situation, she might very well have a variety of techniques to use. So I repeat that, in my opinion, blindness can be best defined not physically or medically, but functionally or sociologically. The alternative techniques which must be learned are the same for those born blind as for those who become blind as adults. They are quite similar, or should be similar, for those who are totally blind, or nearly so, and those who are partially sighted and yet are blind, in the terms of the usually accepted legal definition. In other words, I believe that the complex distinctions which are often made between those who have partial sight and those who are totally blind, between those who have been blind from childhood and those who have become blind as adults, are largely meaningless. In fact, they are often harmful, since they place the wrong emphasis on blindness and its problems. Perhaps the greatest danger in the field of work for the blind today is the tendency to be hypnotized by jargon. And once again, this was a definition of blindness, a speech given by Kenneth Jernigan, who was the president of the NFB back in the from 1968 to 1986. He passed away in 1998, Kenneth Jernigan. The next article I found at a website of, well, actually it comes from the Blindness Center at the website called medicinenet.com. And this is about blindness. The medical author was Dr. Andrew Dahl. The medical editor was Dr. William Scheel. The questions ask right up front, what is blindness? Blindness is defined as a state of being sightless. A blind individual is unable to see. In a strict sense of the word, blindness denotes the inability of a person to distinguish darkness from bright light in either eye. The terms blind and blindness have been modified by our society to include a wide range of visual impairment. Blindness is frequently used today to describe severe visual decline in one or both eyes with maintenance of some residual vision. Vision impairment or low vision means that even with glasses, contact lenses, medicine, or surgery, someone doesn't see well. Vision impairment can range from mild to severe. Worldwide, between 300 million and 400 million people are visually impaired due to various causes. Within this group, approximately 50 million people are totally blind, and approximately 80% of blindness occurs in people over the age of 50. Next question, when is one considered legally blind? Legal blindness is not a medical term. It is defined by lawmakers in nations or states in order to either limit allowable activities such as driving by individuals who are called legally blind, or to provide preferential governmental benefits to those people. This can be in the form of educational services or even monetary assistance. Under what's called the Aid to the Blind program, part of the Social Security Act passed in 1935, the United States Congress defined legal blindness as either central visual acuity of 20 over 200 or less in the better eye with corrective glasses, or central visual acuity of more than 20 over 200 if there is a visual field defect in which the peripheral field is contracted to such an extent that the widest diameter of the visual field subtends an angular distance no greater than 20 degrees in the better eye. There's that legal definition again. Wow. This paragraph concludes by saying, blindness in one eye is never defined as legal blindness if the other eye is normal or near normal. And it is estimated that more than 1 million people in the United States meet this definition, legal definition of legally blind. The next question, what are the different types of blindness? Color blindness is the inability to perceive differences in various shades of color, particularly green and red, that others can distinguish. It is most often inherited, that means it's genetic, and it affects about 8% of males and under 1% of women. People who are colorblind usually have normal vision otherwise and can function well visually. This is actually not true blindness. Another type of blindness, night blindness. This is a difficulty in seeing under situations of decreased illumination. It can be genetic or acquired. The majority of people who have night vision difficulties function well under normal lighting conditions. This is not a state of sightlessness. The next type of blindness they talk about is snow blindness. This snow blindness is a loss of vision after exposure of the eyes to large amounts of ultraviolet light. Snow blindness is usually temporary and is due to swelling of the cells of the corneal surface. Even in the most severe cases of snow blindness, the individual is still able to see shapes and movement. The article continues, people often say, I am blind as a bat without my glasses. Well, all bat species have eyes, and most have excellent vision at night, but not in daylight. More importantly, the term blindness means the inability to see despite wearing glasses. Anyone who has access to glasses and sees well with the glasses cannot be called blind. The next question in this article, again, the article came from medicinenet.com. What causes blindness? The many causes of blindness differ according to the socioeconomic conditions of the nation being studied. In developed nations, the leading cause of blindness include ocular complications of diabetes, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and traumatic injuries. But in third world nations, where 90% of the world's visually impaired population actually lives, the principal causes are infections, cataracts, glaucoma, injury, and the inability to obtain any corrective glasses. In developed nations, the term blindness is not used to describe those people whose vision is correctable with glasses. The infectious causes in underdeveloped areas of the world include trachoma, which is also called river blindness, and leprosy. The most common infectious cause of blindness in developed nations is herpes simplex. Other causes of blindness include vitamin A deficiency, retinopathy of prematurity, blood vessel diseases involving the retina or optic nerve, including stroke, infectious diseases of the cornea or retina, ocular inflammatory disease, retinitis pigmentosa, primary or secondary malignancies of the eye, congenital abnormalities, hereditary diseases of the eye, and chemical poisoning from toxic agents such as methanol. And these were the common infectious causes of blindness in developed nations. So the next question, the next segment of this article is, what are risk factors for blindness? A principal risk factor for blindness is living in a third world nation without ready access to modern medical care. Other risk factors would include poor prenatal care, premature birth, advancing age, poor nutrition, failing to wear safety glasses when indicated, poor hygiene, smoking, a family history of blindness, the presence of various ocular diseases, and the existence of medical conditions including diabetes, hypertension, cerebrovascular disease, and cardiovascular disease. Next question they ask, what are signs and symptoms of blindness? All people who are blind or have visual impairment have the common symptom of difficulty seeing. People with similar levels of visual loss may have very different responses to that symptom. If a person is born blind, there is much less adjustment to a non-seeing world than there is for people who lose their vision later in life, where there may be limited ability to cope with that visual loss. Support systems available to individuals and their psychological makeup will also modify the symptoms of lack of sight. People who lose their vision suddenly, rather than over a period of years, also can have more difficulty adjusting to their visual loss. Associated symptoms such as a discomfort in the eyes, awareness of the eyes, foreign body sensation, or pain in the eyes, or discharge from the eyes, all these may be present or absent depending on the underlying cause of the blindness. A blind person may have no visible signs of any abnormalities when sitting in a chair and resting. However, when blindness is a result of infection of the cornea, which is that dome in the front of the eye, the normally transparent cornea may become white or gray, making it difficult to view the colored part of the eye. In blindness from cataract, the normally black pupil may appear white. Depending on the degree of blindness, the affected individual will exhibit signs of visual loss when attempting to ambulate. Some blind people have learned to look directly at the person they are speaking with, so it's not obvious that they might be blind. Next question that's asked, what specialists treat blindness? Ophthalmology is the specialty of medicine that deals with diagnosis and medical and surgical treatment of eye diseases. Therefore, ophthalmologists are the specialists who have the knowledge and tools to diagnose the cause of blindness and to provide treatment if possible. The next section, how do healthcare professionals diagnose blindness? Blindness is diagnosed by testing each eye individually and by measuring the visual acuity and the visual field, or the peripheral vision. People may have blindness in one eye, which is called unilateral blindness, or they may have blindness in both eyes, and this is called bilateral blindness. Historical information regarding the blindness can be helpful in diagnosing the cause of the blindness. Poor vision that is sudden in onset differs in potential causes than blindness that is progressive or chronic. Temporary blindness differs in cause from permanent blindness. The cause of blindness is made by a thorough examination by an ophthalmologist. Next question, what are treatments for blindness? The treatment of visual impairment or blindness depends on the cause. In third world nations where many people have poor vision as a result of a refractive error, merely prescribing and giving them glasses will alleviate the problem. Nutritional causes of blindness can be addressed by dietary changes. There are millions of people in the world who are blind from cataracts. In these patients, cataract surgery would, in most cases, restore their sight. Inflammatory and infectious causes of blindness can be treated with medication in the form of drops or pills. And corneal transplantation may help people whose vision is absent as a result of corneal scarring. So what's the prognosis for blindness? The prognosis for blindness is dependent on its cause. In patients with blindness due to optic nerve damage or a completed stroke, visual acuity can usually not be restored. Patients with long-standing retinal detachment, in general, cannot be improved with surgical repair of their detachment. Patients who have corneal scarring or cataract usually have a good prognosis if they are able to access surgical care for their condition. Then the question, is blindness preventable? Blindness is preventable through a combination of education and access to good medical care. Most traumatic causes of blindness can be prevented through eye protection. Nutritional causes of blindness are preventable through proper diet. Most cases of blindness from glaucoma are preventable through early detection and appropriate treatment. Visual impairment and blindness caused by infectious diseases have been greatly reduced through international public health measures. The majority of blindness from diabetic retinopathy is preventable through careful control of blood sugar levels, exercise, avoidance of obesity and smoking, and emphasis on eating foods that do not increase the sugar load This would mean complex rather than simple carbohydrates. There has been an increase in the number of people who are blind or visually impaired from conditions that are a result of simply living longer. As the world's population achieves greater longevity, there will be more blindness from diseases such as macular degeneration. However, these diseases are so common that research and treatments are constantly evolving. Regular eye examinations may often uncover a potentially blinding illness that can then be treated before there is any visual loss. There is ongoing research regarding gene therapy for certain patients with inheritable diseases, such as Leber's congenital amaurosis, it's abbreviated LCA, and also for retinitis pigmentosa. Improvements in diagnosis and prevention of retinopathy of prematurity. This is a potentially blinding illness seen in premature babies. These improvements have made it an avoidable cause of blindness today. Patients who have untreatable blindness need tools and help to reorganize their habits and the way in which they perform their everyday tasks. Organizations such as the Braille Institute offer helpful resources and support for people with blindness and for their families. Visual aids such as the Braille Institute offers, text reading software, and Braille books are available, together with many simple and complex technologies to assist people with severely compromised vision in functioning more effectively. In the United States and most other developed nations, financial assistance through various agencies can pay for the training and support necessary to allow a blind person to function. A final thought here, John Milton and Helen Keller are well known for their accomplishments in life, despite their being blind. There are countless other unnamed individuals with blindness, however, who, despite significant visual handicaps, have had full lives and enriched the lives of those who have interacted with them. Well, to end today's program, I have a quote for you to think about. Kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. This comes from Mark Twain. Now, one thing about him that you may not know, Mark Twain, or Samuel Clemens, which is his real name, dropped out of school in the fifth grade. He became a printer, and he soon began to write his own stories, and this took him all over the country. He educated himself at public libraries along the way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.